Hello and welcome to the PC Gamer podcast. I am your host and editor, Ross Atherton, and joining me today in the PC Gamer studios are...
Freelancer Blackguard John Walker.
Hello, Freelancer Blackguard John Walker. And also...
News editor, Craig Pearson.
Hello, Craig. And also...
Tom Francis, section editor.
Hello, Tom.
Extra Life.
Yes,
that's section the editor of Extra Life. It frustrates me that my job title is so hopelessly vague. Could be any section of the Mac.
Yeah, it gets all very boring and HR-y when we start trying to make you Extra Life editor.
This is why I'm culture editor.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
that's a lot easier. We're getting off topic already. We're only 30 seconds in.
Tom should be Sextron editor.
Yes. Oh, God. This is going to be a tough one. So you may have noticed that we're missing someone. It's Tim Edwards.
Calming influence whatsoever.
No calming influence, so we're completely screwed. Tim is actually doing something very interesting at the moment. He's overseeing a photo shoot for a forthcoming feature, which we'll tell you about another time.
So he's crouching down saying, yes, love it.
Yeah, he's trying to get PCs to work the camera.
We do have naked titted ladies in it.
Show a bit more motherboard, you whore.
Get your case off, yes. Oh, John, are you going to be coughing?
Sorry, I've all got... The cough has come from nowhere.
Yeah, John gives all the cold, so...
Yeah, he's just been hitting the crack pipe, so he's a little bit...
According to Ross, no, crack equals
that
cold.
That is libel.
Maybe just said that everyone who has a cold...
I think you'll find it's slander.
I'm going to write it. I'm writing it down at the moment. Now it's libel.
I think a recording.
You'll be libeling yourself.
Hang on, shit.
A recording counts as a publication, so it's libel, I think.
John Walker is a racist. There you go.
That's a horrible thing
so
to say.
So it's what we did. Who did we libel or slander last month?
I don't know.
Traveller's Tales, John Smith. John
Smith. Well, he hasn't sued us yet. Maybe it's in the post.
Maybe he's just got enough money
one of us.
Yeah. Okay, so this is the point I usually say. So, Tim, what are we going to talk about today? And he kind of saves the podcast. What are we going to talk about today, guys?
You told us earlier on, now we don't remember.
We're going to be talking about some exciting forthcoming games. We're going to talk about a new issue, which is very exciting for a number of reasons. Talking about the showdown, what we just done, Deus Ex 3, and all sorts of good stuff. Ooh. So, as we did last time, we're not talking about the charts today because the charts are a bit boring until all the big new games start coming out in the next few weeks. So we're going to start talking about the games that are coming out in the next few weeks. Craig, tell us what's coming out in the next few weeks.
Should I just do one at a time or I'll do the whole
list? I think one at a time, yeah.
I think the first one coming out is Dead Space.
Ah, right. So that's reviewed in our forthcoming issue, which we'll talk about in a bit. You've played much of it?
I've seen it being played.
Excellent.
That was a couple of months ago.
I've had a good chat with Jim about this. And so Dead Space is a funny one because it wasn't really on our radars much. It's primarily a console
I don't have
game.
A radar, so...
Yeah.
My radar broke a long time ago.
Is it?
I only have a gaydar now. It's hopeless for games.
How gay is Dead Space?
I've got a radar.
It's just not showing up. It's like gay stealth.
Oh, God. This is going to be the worst podcast
How
ever.
Gay is Gears of War?
Very gay, actually. That was a big boom blip on my gaydar.
The point I'm trying to make is that Dead Space is unexpectedly good.
Hey!
Yes.
So, Jim says it's very scary.
Yeah.
I thought you said it was horrifying rather than scary.
It's
scary, but it's more horrible and gory.
I've got a theory that it's actually really, really, really difficult for games to actually scare us anymore. You know, when you first played Doom, how that was properly scary. Because being in a 3D environment for the first time, pretty much the first time, that was really convincing. Now we're just so used to it that games have to work incredibly hard to actually scare us properly.
I think there are limitations to how kind of weird you can get in a mainstream game, except, I mean, Silent Hill's kind of the famous exception to getting really, really freaky kind of David Lynch-style stuff into a mainstream game. But the things that scare me most are bugs. So one of the most freaky and just downright disturbing moments I've ever had in a game was in Mafia, where it had an issue with my graphics card where it would just kind of scramble the vertices of polygonal models at random. So go to a cutscene where, I don't know, Frankie and Jimmy are sitting at a table. I don't know what the characters' names are, but that's a safe bet. And Frankie's face would just be like this horrible mess of fleshy spikes, just this kind of like pincushion of hideous deformities, like black crevices and weird bits of eye kind of strewn across giant bits.
That was going so well for a minute there. Dead Space does do kind of those kind of hideous twisted creatures that are, you know, try to be scary, but basically we've seen them so many times in sci-fi that they just kind of don't work.
They're just lumps of meat that scream.
But it also has tension and kind of surprises.
The cool thing about games is that we could, in theory, do a Cthulhu type thing where what we're seeing doesn't obey the laws of Euclidean Euclidean geometry.
Oh, I love Euclidean geometry.
And that's kind of why the mappy thing was so terrifying, is because it did obey physics, but it didn't obey the laws of what a natural thing can look like. You know, it wasn't rounded, it was these giant, horrible prongs. And I think it would be actually quite easy to program an engine that could show a 3D model that didn't quite make sense, the way as you moved around it, you know, vertices pushed in and inverted and stuff.
I hope EA are listening, because you know, they should be doing this.
I think that's going to be a guaranteed hit.
Yeah,
maybe. Particularly for the children's market.
Add on for Spore or something.
Non-Euclidean geometry, kids.
Yeah. It's a selling point in the box, isn't it? Big kind of flash embossed on the box.
I was playing You Are Empty for their back.
Oh, yes.
And which is awful. Horrific game. But I think games still can do something that's for scares. They can sneak up behind you and shout boo quite easily.
Yeah.
And You Are Empty, as dreadful a game as it was quite good at the shouting boo and making me jump.
The
last time I got to hear
Doom 3 did that, and it was effective at making you jump the first few times.
Oh,
then you realise you're just jumping because something polygonal is shouting at you from jumping out from a cupboard. You have to work a lot harder to really scare people, and I think Dead Space gets pretty close.
The last time I was scared at a game was Fear, and it was just a jumpy moment, but it was right at the start when you're following Paxton Fettel through, I think it's you get on a roof eventually, and then you walk through the roof, and he just jumps out at you and hits you in the face with a plank. And I was playing that at Monolith, and my heart just jumped out of my mouth, and then I died.
Wow, that's scary.
So, what else is coming out in the next couple of weeks, Craig?
After that, I believe it would be Red Alert 3.
Red Alert 3, which, well, I don't think any of us...
Cowboy style.
No, I haven't played it yet, because EA have been a bit tight with the code.
A long live-action B-movie, as far as
I
can
tell. Yeah, that does seem to be the kind of the main selling point so far.
They're having a lot of fun with it. They've got a thing on YouTube now where they respond to YouTube videos with comments from the actors in the cutscenes.
So they're getting further and further away from the actual game, which is kind of the important part as far as we're concerned.
But they've got them, like, you know, Jonathan Pryce slagging off other RTSs. Yeah. Just writing off, the racing genre and stuff.
They did, and they had George Takei say, "All your base are belong to us."
Yeah, that was...
Yes.
Yes. The precious moment.
The hilarity. Good.
It's George Takei!
Yeah, whatever.
Crash. So Jay McCarthy.
31st October?
Yeah, that's what they've got listed so far.
That's quite a big day. Well, I think it's the two big days you've got to be thinking about the next few weeks.
24th of October is a big day.
24th of October. So that's going to be...
Far Cry 2.
Far Cry 2.
When's Fallout?
I think Fallout is the same day as that.
And there are other console games coming out that day as well.
Loads and loads of new games. Shelves groaning and all the other cliches. Yeah. So you mentioned Far Cry 2. Now, of course, we've already reviewed that. It's in our issue out already last month. And that's finally coming out on the 24th.
24th, yeah.
Fantastic, yes. We've all just been kind of itching to get our hands on that.
I won't get to play it for the first week because I'll be in Claybank. Oh. And my dad has... Well, I gave my dad my old PC, so it might run at very low resolution. But I'm there visiting my family and my girlfriend's coming over, so if I just sit there and play Far Cry 2 for the whole weekend...
You wouldn't be very popular.
Well, might be. They might not like me.
We are uniquely ill-suited to talk about Far Cry 2, aren't we? Any other month, we'd have the one person who's played it. Here.
Yeah, no, it's... Tim is the only one who's actually completed it. So
I did actually make Far Cry 2.
Fortunately, we are in a better position to talk about Fallout 3.
Yay. Who's played that?
Let me think. I do have a legendarily short memory, but it was me. It's the cover of our new issue, which is on sale on the 23rd of October.
It's 1/8 of... the cover.
It's actually 9/9 if you include the subscribers, because the thing is we've got 8 different covers on the newsstand. They're all inside a bag, but you can see which one you've got because there's a little window on it, which is quite clever. Little window down the bottom right, so you can see which of the 8 covers you've
got. Inventing transparency technology.
Yeah, it's pure genius. It's actually like a plastic see-through bit.
What's the difference? What's the difference?
Different artwork.
But what are they of?
Ah, well, I'm glad you asked me that, Tom. was that a setup or you genuinely weren't paying attention last week?
I think to know.
Both, okay. Really.
Well, the game, when it's obviously an RPG, so you've got stats. The statistics are, or the main ones for your character, are strength, perception, endurance, charisma, intelligence, agility, and luck. What does that spell?
Clever.
Stalker.
Fear.
Special. Spell Project special. Oh, God, it's not getting any better.
You knacker.
Knacker.
It spells special, that's their system. So, but you can't do 7 covers, you have to do 8 because of printing nonsense. So we had to pick another one, so we picked big guns. There's artwork for all these different statistics, And it's the Vault Boy, the cartoon style kind of Vault Boy guy who's acting out all these different attributes. So that's fun, a little bit of fun there. Eight different covers, go out and see which
collect
one.
Collect them all.
Collect them all if you really want to make our Christmas a happy one.
I know Fallout was first, but the illustrations of Fallout Boy, you know, showing off his strength or doing tricks
Fallout,
and
Fallout Boy is a popular beat combo. Vault Boy is the character in the
artwork. Yeah. Okay. They reminded me very much of the illustrations in Bioshock for each of the plasmids.
Yes.
You know, when you get one, you get that little old-fashioned video of the guy saying like to his wife. Or
absolutely right.
No, that old-fashioned way.
It's a good spot. And I think they do it for the same reason, to get that clash between kind of early 20th century optimism and kind of everything's great with new technology. And
I find it hard to believe that everyone was optimistic in the early 20th century.
I think all the media was optimistic.
Yes. Yes.
There's a great Onion headline in their Our Dumb Century book where they go back to before the Onion was actually around and make headlines and front pages for the years before they existed. And there's one in the 1920s that just says, "Everything's swell."
That could be straight out of Bioshock or Fallout, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So anyway, Fallout 3, it's very good. It's long awaited, and I played it and finished it and reviewed it, and it's in the new issue.
Is it really bleak?
Yeah. Yeah, and actually, I think a lot of people aren't going to like it because it is really.
You think you're wrong?
No. I'm not. I'm absolutely right, because I loved it, and I think more people will like it than won't. But I think a lot of people will go, "Oh, it's a bit grey. It's a bit grim. I'm not really finding enough people to talk to. There's not enough kind of exposition or things to get involved with." But
that sounds awesome. There are I don't want to talk to people. Yeah.
Absolutely, no. There are moments of just pure horror survival. Where it's you can see the influence of The Road, the book, Cormac McCarthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One example was I was heading off in a direction. I knew I needed to get somewhere. I knew it was over there somewhere. So off I go. I get attacked by something. My health is down to next to nothing. The ways to increase your health, you can use Stimpaks, but I was out of those. You can eat food. I didn't have any more food. Used up all my water. Water gives you health as well. So I'm literally slogging along. In the wilderness, knowing that there's nasty creatures could attack me any second, there could be raiders over the next hill or around the next corner, knowing that any second I could die, and I'm looking for puddles of water because I know that if I drink a little bit of water, I can get a bit more health. I'm going into buildings, going, there could be something in here that's going to kill me, or there could be a can of 200-year-old horrible food that's actually going to give me a few health points. So many things, when you consume them, do give you radiation. So you're literally waking up going, okay, can I afford to be more irradiated than I am? Yeah, I can, because I've actually got some Radaway.
Can you afford not to be more irradiated?
Exactly. So you've got something in your backpack which can reduce your radiation but not give you more health. So, I found myself going into a house. There's nobody there. There's there's no bottles of water. There's no food, no health packs, nothing. And there's a toilet, which I drank from.
Oh, God.
Got my radiation up, but I got my health up. Then I took some Radaway, took my radiation down. I'm up on the whole deal. It's that kind of.
You drank from a toilet, yeah, an irradiated toilet, and you're saying you are up on the whole deal.
Yeah, I am. And that's the kind of horrific situation you find yourself in. And that was, for me, one of the highlights of the game.
Drinking from an irradiated toilet.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you
to be absolutely clear on that point.
Yeah, did you put your head in the bowl, or did you pick it up and glug from it?
Oh, you can't pick up a toilet.
Chug.
It's actually got this little...
You get a straw.
It's first person, and it just has you sort of going down to the bowl, and you get the noise.
I watched Kieran drink from the toilet.
And in the game. Oh, good.
That was good. What are the mad, crazy, no mutants allow people going to say about it?
I don't really care.
This podcast.
I don't care because...
mentioned it. It's like saying Candyman.
Well, I don't understand their point of view, so I don't know or care.
Just hit yourself in the head a few times, then you'll understand their point of view.
Yeah, could be.
So is the world just basically Washington, the city, but ruined? I mean, it's just normal houses, normal streets.
No, basically, you've got... if you imagine the map as working quite a lot like Oblivion's, in the bottom right corner, occupying about probably an eighth of the whole area, is a portion of Washington, D.C.
Right.
Not the whole thing, just kind of the edge of it. Then the rest of the map is wasteland, and there's small towns, there's ruins, there's, ruined overpasses, there's lakes and rivers and... buildings, and tunnels and caves and vaults and all kinds of stuff. The world is not actually empty, but it can feel that way. But it's fairly well populated. There's probably a few too many enemies running around in the wasteland because it's hard to get somewhere without constantly getting into fights. But
does it do a day night stuff?
Yep. Day night cycle.
Does it get scarier at night?
Yes, and you get different things happen at night.
Cool.
Yeah. I think we're all going to like it except John, who's decided he doesn't like grey.
What? I'm really looking forward to this game.
You came back from a preview event saying, "Oh, it was a bit grey. I didn't want to explore."
It was this.
This is true. Don't deny it.
It was this vast, bleak landscape, and my concern, my question was, is I didn't feel inspired to think, "Oh, I wonder what's over there," because it just looked like more bleak, grey nothingness.
Yeah.
So it was a concern that I had.
I can see your point of view. I think when you have some more context to the game, as in you just have come from somewhere, you've maybe been told about something over there, you've got a number of blips on your radar saying, you know, quest over this way, you know, I know there's something in that direction. And also you'll kind of get tuned into the world a bit more. You'll know that if you see a building somewhere over there, there's probably going to be something interesting inside it. When I was having this kind of experience of wandering around trying to survive, I went into somebody's house. I went into a house that seemed to be completely empty and abandoned, found kind of a really horrible-looking kind of bed with some blankets on. And I thought, oh, I know, I can sleep here for a bit and regenerate some health. Tried to sleep in it. It said, no, this belongs to somebody. I was like, fuck, where? I thought he was literally going to come around the corner and shoot me in the face for trying to sleep in his bed, but I didn't see him.
Didn't he come in and say, you've been drinking from my toilet?
Yeah, exactly.
Who's been drinking from my toilet?
I think Bethesda games, including Oblivion, communicate that mechanic in wholly the wrong way. I think if you're trying to sleep in someone else's bed, it should let you do that, and then you just wake up 5 minutes later with somebody standing over you wanting to know why you're sleeping in their bed.
Absolutely, I agree. It's a bit of a game breaker to be told, no, this is somebody else's bed. How am I supposed to have known that?
And also, what's stopping me lying down exactly? Yeah. If they're here, then let them find
But at least it did give the world some context, as in, shit, really? You know, is this guy a survivor, a trader? Is he a raider? Is he going to kill me?
I'd have killed him and taken his bed.
Yeah, well, I didn't even see him. That made it even spookier. And there are weird things going
on. Invisible man in that bed.
There are weird things. I don't want to give away. No, in fact, I'm not going to tell you any of this stuff. But there are weird things going out there. Things that you stumble across and you go, I did not expect that. Just odd setups and situations.
Cool.
E3 destroyed all my interest in Fallout. They did a on-stage demonstration of it, and it just looked appalling.
Right.
Yeah.
I bet they were doing it on a console. While I was reviewing it...
It was the Microsoft one,
There were a lot of other guys reviewing on consoles, and they kept coming over to the PC I was playing on, which is a nice PC and a big monitor, but you know, otherwise you know, not totally different to any other game in terms of the way it looked. I just kept kind of wandering past going, it's so beautiful! And I went over to see the PlayStation 3s and the Xbox 360s, and it's a horrible muddy mess on those screens.
I saw an Xbox version and it was, the textures were shocking.
Yeah, but you play on a decent machine with a big monitor and it looks fantastic. Yes, it's grey and brown and dark and dingy, but it's supposed to be, it's got to be. You know, the originals were, and it fits.
I'd like someone to do a post-apocalyptic wasteland that actually has nice greenery.
No comment.
So speaking of... third games in series that are going to piss off fans of the first game in the series.
Segway!
That was beautiful.
It was.
World of Goo 3.
Planning that. Yep, World of Goo 3.
God damn them.
They just sold out completely. Yeah, it's a first-person shooter. You're just firing endless globs of glue that keep hitting you in the face.
Is it like Unreal Tournament with the lost glue gun? So what are you talking about, Tom?
Deus Ex 3.
That's handy because that's in the new issue as well.
Coincidence.
Yeah.
I think not. Yes, and it is going to completely infuriate fans of the original.
As I think you made clear in your feature.
But didn't the second one infuriate fans of the original as well?
Didn't it?
Yeah.
There's no fans left, to be honest. There's no one infuriate.
Well, those fans of the original didn't go away, though. They're still sitting there angrily defending the name Deus Ex.
I've been for 10 years. Other games
Day of Sex? Did you say Day of Sex? I don't understand. Day of Sex. That's all anyone ever says when you mention that game. It's crazy.
Until today. No,
listen to the Latin I've never heard
No
that,
one
ever.
Has said that for the last 5 years.
I have heard people say, question Day of Sex.
Was it you saying it?
It wasn't me.
It's an echo of you saying it.
So I interviewed the lead game designer and some other dude whose title I couldn't understand because he said it in French very quickly. And we've also seen, obviously, all the lovely screenshots and assets they've released.
Yes.
And for the most part, they seemed really kind of on the ball, and they seemed to know what they were doing, and they seemed to understand the the sort of core appeal. But every time we'd kind of get into specifics, he would kind of reveal that they weren't really trying to make another Deus Ex, and that they were just kind of looking at, okay, Deus Ex was really good, but it didn't sell that brilliantly. How can we make a game that sells really brilliantly that is kind of based on that same stuff?
Yeah.
And so they're trying to stay, he says they're trying to stay true to the principles of always having, you know, three or more options for how you approach given objectives. They want to have combat, stealth, and social is their three main ones.
No one's ever done social, right?
Yeah, and they are trying something new with that, which they haven't talked about much, whereby when you talk to somebody, there's three different outcomes you could have from the conversation. You could completely piss them off by saying the wrong thing, in which case they won't talk to you again. That social route is blocked to you. You've got to do something else. They could give you exactly what you want because you found... He says that the kind of game bit of it is just trying to figure out which of your options is really going to get to the person. So threatening their son or finding out what they care about and using that as leverage to get what you want out of them. And if you do that successfully, then you get what you want. And
well, it sounds pretty good. Sounds pretty good so far.
Then there's a middle possibility where you're kind of on the right track, but you screw it up and they won't hate you so much. They won't talk to you again, but they won't give you what you want either. So you can take another whack at it.
Okay.
So there is kind of a game bit to the social aspect, which there wasn't in Deus Ex. You could just hammer the options pretty much and just say, you know, tell me about this, tell me about that, tell me about this. And then eventually they give you what, you know, the passcode or whatever. But then they start to talk about the combat, and the combat is, they literally said they want to make it more straightforward. So one of the things they said when they're talking about the options was that, it was one of the strengths of the original, that you could approach things any way you wanted. You could be stealthy, you could just run and gun, you could do whatever. And I asked them, well, you actually couldn't really run and gun in Deus Ex 1, could you? Like, that was one of the things it's famous for, is that J.C. Denton is a terrible shot at the start. And so when you start out, you can't hit, you know, a 10-foot wall. And you have to, you know, use the RPG elements to level up and get better and that kind of stuff. And he said the fatal thing that you should never say to a Deus Ex fan is, yeah, well, I really enjoyed it at the time, but going back to it 8 years later, you know, there are some things that you don't really like so much, which is absolute heresy. It's like saying, yeah, the Mona Lisa was good at the time, but you go back to it and why didn't they make her actually smile or not smile at all? Make up your mind.
It's true, though.
And then he starts to talk about, you know, there's stealth is no longer dependent on shadows. It's about holding your cover button behind cover so that you do the Rainbow Six stroke Gears of War type
Gears
thing.
Of War.
And then if you're good at playing FPSs, you can just play as a straight FPS. You don't have to pick and choose what you want to specialise in. There's close combat moves that kill everyone around you using special orgs where it switches to third person and shows you, you know, boning because they want to show you how cool you look as you do this stuff.
Oh, God, it's not the bloody Matrix.
Yeah. And it just starts to sound like they're going for more of an action game. Yeah. And the other main thing that's going to piss off people who love Deus Ex and hated Deus Ex 2 is that the look of it, even though it's set years before Deus Ex 1, is far more futuristic than Deus Ex 1. It's even more futuristic than Deus Ex 2.
Right.
And it's set in two of the main locations are Shanghai and Montreal. And we haven't seen much of Montreal, but Shanghai is a two-tier city. So there's a whole other ground level above the normal ground level. And there's obviously going to be some kind of like segregation of society where, you know, the augmented people, I don't know, either live in the top floor because they're rich or they live on the bottom floor because they're ostracized. And it's, you know, completely crazy, far future vision of
maybe the world got less futuristic.
Yeah, that's my theory, that it got less, like,
well, fashion. I mean, you could argue that the world was more futuristic.
They removed the second floor from Shanghai and put it back.
Yeah, exactly.
So you say it's being made in Eidos, Montreal.
Yep.
And it's set in Montreal and Shanghai.
Yep.
Do they have an office in Shanghai as well?
Ubisoft do.
They do, the Tomb Raiders.
And
what a coincidence. Maybe it's just so they can get free accommodation when they go over there.
Splinter Cell Double Agent, which was made in Ubisoft Shanghai, have Shanghai featured fairly heavily.
Yeah, it was also rubbish.
I wonder if it's a tax break from the local kind of tourist board.
Hang on,
it's probably just 99%
of American games are set in America. What's the problem with a game made in Shanghai being set in Shanghai?
They're usually about
racists. No, that's what it is.
Why not set it in Reykjavik or because Melbourne.
That's not what they know. Why have Bethesda set Fallout 3 in Washington, D.C.? I didn't hear you complaining about that.
Well, I'm complaining about
when
it
you were
now.
Talking about
and what
3.
A coincidence that live. GSC Game World happened to set Stalker into a novel.
Yeah, they could have put it anywhere.
You know, lazy, that's what I
Bradford
call
Bradford on Avon, you know.
No, but I mean, when they do the next Heath game, which they're clearly going to do, you know, if that's in Montreal.
That will be suspicious.
That would be great. That'd be awesome, actually. He bumps anyway. Into Sam Fisher.
Hang on, Tom's still got some ranting to do on Deus Ex.
The bottom line, Deus Ex, I actually think it's going to be a good game. And I actually think Deus Ex 2 was a good game as well.
They're it just was, it was a good game.
Not at all like Deus Ex 1. Hmm. Well, it is a bit like Deus Ex 1. But it's going to be something that has some things superficially in common with Deus Ex 1, but fundamentally... Yeah. Is not trying for the same kind of real-world secret agency type feel and doesn't achieve it.
Well, it sounds to me like they need to focus a little bit and decide what kind of game it is. And if it really isn't going to be an RPG where you can, you know, just defeat your enemies by hacking things or, you know, using just augmentations, and they do want to make an action game, go all the way. Make it a proper action game.
They actually made a
Deus Ex... don't kind of hedge your bets.
They made a Deus Ex action game before then and renamed it Project Snowblind.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. That was a plan to be a Deus Ex, just an full-on action
quite
game.
Glad that they took the Deus Ex off it.
Yeah, that was terrible.
That's probably why they did, so as they'd protect the brand.
Yeah.
Interesting insights.
If only they'd done that with Invisible Wall. A game that I actually quite like.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense to insult it. 93% sure of PC game. Gamer.
But that was Kieran, wasn't he?
It was a good game. It was a really good game. It had a terrible ending, and he should have mentioned that, but it was a really good game.
Which I do mention in my Fallout 3 review.
That's a terrible ending?
Yep.
Huh. Oh, yeah, you did.
But I'm not going to say why. I can't. Because it would spoil the whole thing.
Is it just stupid that your dad dies?
It's
did the butler do it?
That I haven't played it, readers. I don't know.
That isn't actually the ending.
Does it turn out it was all a dream?
Yeah.
No,
it's wake up in Bioshock.
It's not as bad as that. No, it just doesn't. It kind of you can be in a position where it doesn't make much sense. And also, the important thing to remember is it's not like Oblivion, Fallout 3, in that you can complete the main quest. And then play on in Oblivion. Fallout 3, like the old Fallouts, you complete the main quest, game over.
Yeah, that pissed me off in Mass Effect, because you're going through and there's loads of side quests, and some of the people giving you side quests will actually say, don't bother with my little story, because you've got this really urgent hunt on to find Sauron and destroy him and save the universe. Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, I'll come back to your thing. And you can't. You finish the game and that's the end. You can't
Even weirder, when you get the add-on pack, the free add-ons, you have to go back to a save position before you finish the game to be able to play it. Mm. Idiots.
Yep. It is stupid.
Well, so yes, all big name games are shit.
Yeah, that's more or less
so that's what we've discovered today. So what else are we going to talk about today?
We have Multiwinia to discuss.
Ah, yes. Now, so you were just telling me this morning, what's going on with Multiwinia, which is also reviewed in our issue.
Yes, and it's out now, in fact, good. But no one knows that because no one's playing it.
Right, why? What's going on? Are they releasing at the wrong time of year with too many other great games around?
Seems like they're
getting no coverage, is there?
Yeah, they have a lot of their coverage comes from people reviewing it. Mm. And what they did this time was give it to people to review on the day it came out.
Because with Darwinia, they gave it to reviewers quite a long way in advance. And did it get pirated? Was it DEF CON? One of the two got heavily pirated. Someone they gave a review copy to basically leaked it online, and it was shared, and they reckon they lost a lot of early sales that way. So they didn't give early review code out this time.
I know with DEF CON, and I think with Darwinia 2, they leaked a version themselves.
Darwinia 2?
Darwinia as well.
Oh.
They leaked a version themselves.
Darwinia as well?
A kind of dummy... what the fuck? They leaked a dummy version themselves onto Mini Nova or whatever. And it looked like a fully legitimate version. Then after you're playing it for a while, say, hey, this is actually the demo. Why don't you buy it if you like it so much? Why don't you marry it if you like it so much? They didn't say that. But, and that was really successful. They basically used their pirates to stress test the servers, see if it could cope with loads of people playing DEF CON at once, and also to market the game to them. And they got loads of sales from pirated copies.
Okay.
I love it when they do crazy stuff like that with pirated. Earthbound 3 on the SNES let you play the entire game. When you pirated it right to the end until it crashed in a boss fight and then deleted all your save games.
Nice.
Did it have some kind of message to inform you why that had happened?
I've no idea.
Because you hear a lot about people saying this game's shit and complaining and clogging up support forums with complaints about other games when in fact what they're encountering is copy protection.
Yeah. Titan Quest blamed a lot of their... the Titan Quest guys,
Iron Law.
Iron Law. I wanted to say Ironclad then, and that's wrong.
Yeah.
yeah, they blamed a lot of their poor sales on the fact that there was a bug in the pirated version where it crashed after the first level. In fact, it was actually a copy protection thing. It was supposed to do that. It would do the copy protection check at the end of the first level, and if it failed it, it wouldn't tell you, it just crashed, which was perhaps a mistake on their part, I would say. Yeah. But anyway, it caused hundreds and hundreds of pirates to go on forum and saying, this game's rubbish, it crashes after the first level, and support won't help me. And it got a bad reputation of being a bugged game.
Yep.
But anyway, Multiwinia. Yeah. Chris says they've got the highest conversion rate they've ever had with a interversion game, which means percentage of people playing the demo buying the game.
Yeah.
So with Darwinia, it was terrible. People who played the demo didn't like it, didn't buy the game, because the demo was a bit poorly judged.
Was that before they changed the control system on it?
Yeah, it was still the gesture control system, and it was...
the wrong level.
It was, yeah, completely the wrong level. It was, in fact, was it the garden level?
I can't remember now.
I had to
because there's only one level in Darwinia that you can lose at, and I'm pretty sure that was the demo level, where you have to save a certain number of Darwinians, and if those that amount of Darwinians die before you've, after you've killed all the viruses, there's no way to make new ones, and you can actually fail it. Anyway, they created a new demo afterwards, which was brilliant, and actually did introduce the game well. But this time they got the demo right and coverage wrong, so nobody's heard of the game.
Because, for example, our review isn't out until the 23rd of October, but the game will have been on sale for...
about a month and 10 days.
Yeah. So,
and apparently one
hopefully it'll pick up, but again, you know, it's not a great time of the year to release, you know, a game where you're not able to advertise it heavily and get shelf space. So
I also think it kind of got thought of as the multiplayer bit they're tacking on to Darwinia in order to please Microsoft for the Xbox Live Arcade version, which I don't think is still out.
No, it doesn't seem to be out yet.
Yeah, there's kind of truth to that, isn't there?
So I wonder if the multi-platform websites are thinking, we won't review that, we'll wait till Darwinia Plus comes out and talk about it.
Well, we wish them the best because we like our introversion.
I know, the point of this is you should download the Multiwinia demo if you haven't already, because there's a very high probability you'll like it.
When you say download, Tom, do you mean get it off the PC Gamer disc?
If you have the PC Gamer disc already, it's on the issue that's just coming out, right?
Yeah.
That's fine then.
Some people might not yet have it.
Yeah,
we're not allowed to wait
for
anything.
It. Yeah, no, don't download it. Okay. Buy our magazine for it.
All right, people, the internet doesn't exist. You must depend on our disc for everything.
No, it's not exactly
la, 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 la. Don't use Google. So, just open a magazine randomly at a page and hope that answers your question.
Use encyclopedias. Go to the library.
Speaking of introversion, I had a bet with Mark Morris, one of the directors of Introversion, that if they got one of their games into our Reader's Top 100 this year, I would buy them all a curry.
Into it at all? Anywhere?
Into the top 30.
Top 30.
Yeah. And they failed. So the next curry's on them again.
Slightly vindictive bet, wasn't it?
Yeah. Not at all.
Your game will fail.
I was trying to encourage them to encourage their community. And they did do some voting, but we had so many votes in our Reader's Top 100 that their games did not, I'm afraid.
They negated their usual form of hacking.
Yeah, well, we obviously had an unhackable site this time, which is great. So in case you're wondering what the hell we're talking about, we did a Reader's Top 100 this year to follow up our PC Gamer Top 100, in which we tell you what we think is best. And we, of course, gave
amazingly enough, all the games in Reader's Top 100 corresponded to the games in our Top 100, so we're just going to reprint that again.
Craig is, of course, lying, as usual.
How dare you.
No, we gave you hundreds to choose from, and it's a completely different Top 100. That the results of that are actually
It's a wrong top 100, because obviously our one was wrong.
Well, exactly. Oh, it's you know,
idiot
it's,
readers, idiots.
They're entitled to their wrong opinions. It's in the issue out on the 23rd of October, new issue, and you can or you should by then be able to see the results also on the website, which is pcgamertop100.com. Thank you to everyone who voted. We had thousands of you voting, was lovely. Thank you, Tom, for voting. Yeah,
I voted too.
But you only got to vote once, which is important.
When is this podcast out? Usually it's out with the magazine, so couldn't we just tell them?
No, you can
listen to this without buying the magazine.
Multi-platform operation, PC Gamer. You know, if we tell them all everything.
Because I was just confused because you just told them to get the demo off our desk. You see.
Yeah, cool.
The magazine to do all these things.
Don't tie me down to the logic.
Anyway, one community did rally around, or two communities.
Yes,
got themselves activated, and
the exciting thing was that we were able to sort of see the voting in as it was going
real
on,
in real time,
and there were moments where we thought it was all going to get a bit weird. Go on, Tom.
Two massive multiplayer games, in fact, momentarily rocketed to the top of the charts. Lord of the Rings Online was a bit of a shocker, because although it is a very popular game, we don't think of it very much as a kind of PC gamer.
No, because we never got around to playing it a lot last year, but it is actually really good these days, and we've got a specialist now.
But the their community site linked our top 100. And says, hey guys, go and vote for it if you think it's the best.
Yes.
And strangely, people visiting the Lord of the Rings Online community site did think Lord of the Rings Online was one of the best games around.
How about that?
And so that was at number one for a very long time. Yep. It looked like it was going to beat Half-Life 2.
Yep.
Until the EVE community were told. EVE community is a big and very powerful thing, and they absolutely dominated it for ages. It rocketed past Lord of the Rings and Half-Life 2, and stayed at the top of the charts for a very long time. Half-Life 2 started to catch up again, and Valve, as far as we know, never actually pimped the top 100, never asked people to vote for any of their games.
They didn't pimp it, but I think they mentioned it on the Steam newsletter.
Somewhere. Right, but... It never had an influx of players who'd been asked to vote for it, but it just had the steady influx.
Because everyone voting is probably going to put Half-Life 2 there at some
point. Its rank was just going up and up. And I think it's the reason it ultimately, it was neck and neck with Eve for a long time, then it's finally overtook Eve slightly, and now it's quite a way ahead of it in the final rankings.
Yeah.
And I think the reason it wasn't defeated by the influx of, I keep saying the word influx, by the deluge of people voting for Lord of the Rings Online or EVE Online, is that it's the game that, no matter what your number one is, it's probably in your 10 somewhere.
Yes.
So the people voting for EVE Online probably had Half-Life 2 as number 2 or number 3. Or,
and even with your incredibly complicated mathematical formulas for the voting kind of weighting, it's still got...
Would you like to know about that formula?
No.
did The Longest Journey win? Just tell me that.
No.
No.
Oh, man.
So in the final ranking, Half-Life 2 is 7,000 points ahead of EVE, which is a fairly big deal.
Yeah.
The points are... you get 100 if you vote for it at number 1, and 1 if you vote for it at number 10.
Yep.
And it's a square ratio, since you asked about the algorithm.
Thank you.
So 81 for number 9, et cetera.
Yep.
So in that fashion, I think you'll get the pattern, right?
Yeah, of course.
So 7,000 is quite a lot. Then the gap between EVE and Lord of the Rings Online, the two where the community's mobilised and, you know, made a real effort, is embarrassingly large. EVE absolutely thrashed Lord of the Rings.
Wow.
47,000 votes in it.
Wow.
God.
And then after that, it gets much closer. Lord of the Rings Online beats WoW by a whisker. And then TF2 ends up at 6.
Yep.
Deus Ex at 10.
The great thing about this list is that I think we've got, you know, a fair reflection of what we hear people like. But also the fact that, you know, nobody seems to have bothered trying to get around our you can only vote one system. It is possible to get around it, but you need to have multiple email addresses. It's as simple as that.
Should we be offended that we're not relevant enough to be
hacked? Absolutely not, because I'm really happy that we've actually ended up with a good reflection of what people love. So I think we'll do it again next year. It's all good. So another thing we're probably going to do again next year is... it's all segues this time.
It's amazing.
That's kind of tenuous. Yeah. We're probably going to do everything next year.
Yeah, we'll probably do
another thing that exists in the world
is the PC Gamer Showdown.
I believe we're going to rename the month of September just Showdown now.
Yeah. July.
Showdown Tember.
Yeah.
Showdown Tember. Which we did in the last weekend of September. And we had lots of you come along. And I think it went all right. In case you're wondering, again, what the hell I'm talking about, most people do. It was a big LAN party where we had a few hundred people come along with their PCs and we played some games. Lots of people won lots of money. £35,000, I think, was won. And we had...
By Craig Kearson.
Yeah. Who was that masked man? what was I going to say? Yes, you could also play Left 4 Dead there and Far Cry 2 and other stuff and get free burgers. Though I did actually refrain from having one of those.
Did anyone eat one?
No.
Did you eat one?
No,
it's just something about microwave and burger that just frightens
me. Yeah, let's not kind of go into that.
I'm sure they were delicious.
They were.
Everyone seemed to enjoy them.
Mm.
I just brought fruit though. I was a bit worried about the weekend, given that we were all dying of the cold at the time as well.
Yes.
So, what was your highlight of the weekend, Craig?
Seeing the Valve stand.
Yeah.
Because I'm the one that got them there.
Yes, you did. You did ask, and they said yes.
Yes, I spent many, many hours emailing them. Saying, can you come?
Please.
And they said, actually, what I did was I said, can you come? And they said, yes. And that was that.
That was. But it's about who you are. It's about your relationship.
It's about who I am. And I'm me, for God's sakes.
And they were the real kind of highlight of the show. Left 4 Dead, they had Chet Falasek and Matt...
Something. He never did actually tell me his second name.
Yeah. Matt was lovely.
Really nice
I thought he was called Matt Russell, who seems to be an animator at Valve, but they have another animator called Matt, who's the one that turned up to Showdown, who wasn't him.
Well, there you go. But they had, you know, people queuing there for the whole weekend, which was fantastic.
I had to get turned away eventually when they shut the stand down.
Yeah, people were upset. Turned away a few people at the end. And poor guys, they just literally, they landed, set up, and then demoed it for 2 days straight on their feet.
Yeah.
And they were absolutely exhausted and jet lagged, and they worked like slaves to get it all up and running. Yeah. And we had hilarity with PCs not working.
That's so funny every time it happens.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yes. And no one at all in the whole place brought a mouse mat.
Yes, that's right.
No, they did bring it. They just didn't have it set up for the first night when we tried out. We had the inaugural game where we discovered if one person is a bit of a twat and runs on ahead,
everyone
exactly
does.
How unbalanced Left 4 Dead can get. Yeah.
Left 4 Dead is an amazing game unless you play with an idiot.
Yeah.
I am that idiot.
Funnily enough, Tom, you weren't there. Someone deputised the idiot.
That's right.
I know, but
you, Tom, what was your highlight of that weekend?
All the exciting things I got up to in London.
Yes. Tom wasn't there because it was his birthday. So we let him off giving it the show.
I just had plans.
Yeah, John came though.
Hi, I came.
Thank you for coming, John.
That's my pleasure.
It's a real pleasure having you there.
Thank you very
much. Even if you were full of cold and a bit grumpy.
Was I grumpy?
No, you weren't grumpy.
I was probably a bit grumpy.
I'm told actually that happy birthday was sung for me.
Yes, it was.
So thank you very much for everyone who's involved in that.
That was very kind of you.
I didn't do it.
Who suggested that, by the way?
I don't know. You just started saying happy birthday.
I wasn't that drunk.
You were up. The first round of happy birthday came from Ross, I'm sure. And then we were all sat there. And it was that during the quiz show.
The quiz show, never mind the games.
And we were doing that thing where...
Have you not been paying attention?
We insulted our readers.
Was there a comma between games and
Yes,
cops?
There was.
Yeah.
We were doing that thing where... on quiz shows, when people start talking amongst themselves, we now know what people talk about.
Yeah.
But we were doing that, and suddenly, I'm not going to say a lyric because we'll probably get sued. But happy birthday started to be sung. And Ross, I'm sure, was the leader.
I'm not entirely
sure. You had the microphone, for God's sake.
But you weren't singing the official real happy birthday, because otherwise you'd have to pay PRS fees.
Yes.
Yeah, public performance.
We sang the Futurama version.
And if it was recorded, which I believe it was.
That bit was
saying the Cliff Richard version, didn't
you? Fuck's sake.
Fine.
Is it time for letters from readers?
Yes, I think it is. We've had some excellent letters in the past few weeks.
I want you to know what Ross's showdown highlight was.
No, I didn't get to say mine either.
It was actually talking... This is really serious and boring. It was talking to some real gamers, having some beers and just talking
real
about
gamers,
what they got to.
I'm not a real gamer, am I?
No, you're not. Because you don't pay for games and stuff, and we force you to play them. people who, you know, we actually don't get that much opportunity to talk face-to-face with normal people who play games. And so I got to chat to loads of them, it was really interesting, you know, just getting some real input on what we do. And
they're all rubbish, apparently.
Yeah, no, everyone was quite positive, but then they have come to our showdowns.
Yes.
Probably expected they like what we do. But it was all good stuff, all very positive and constructive, and met some real nice guys, and, had a good time.
And John's highlight?
My highlight was getting to be pretend famous for a weekend. It was really weird. People would come up and say, "Hi, John, how's the cat?" or something like that. And I'd think, "Who on earth are you? I don't know you." And of course, you know, they read stuff that we've written and then no. And then Karen is like, "This is what it must be like for a famous person."
Did you get your...
Was it actually just Dexter with a moustache? That was your awesome cat. I think he's the best.
I did think that monocle was unusual.
Did you get to sign anything, like an autograph?
I did sign one person's Darwinian.
I got to sign...
I think he was quite reluctant.
You didn't make
Darwin, he was like,
yeah.
"Do you want to sign it as well?" It wasn't really... Yeah. It wasn't quite the...
Who are you again?
The excited fan I was.
I got to sign someone's Warhammer Online special edition that we gave away.
Mm.
Except I said to them, "Do you want Craig or do you want Buck Sexington?" They went, "Oh, Buck, please."
Good. Excellent. So that was the showdown, and we'll do it again.
Letters from the readers.
Letters from the readers.
They mostly suck.
Really. So we've just picked out some of the highlights here, and we're going to see what we've got. What have we got, Tom?
Steph Richardson writes, "I am an A-level student at Selby College. For my coursework, I have to research what goes into a magazine. I would be grateful if you would be able to provide me with information regarding what goes into your magazine. Thanks, Steph Richardson."
And I have no idea how to start answering.
Well, the thing is...
What goes into your magazine?
Just give them the magazine. It's all in there.
They could just take a look at the magazine.
Yeah.
Oh, games, right, yeah.
The fact that you can't answer that is kind of disturbing as well, Ross.
I think, you know, to do well in your qualification there, Steph, you probably need to be a bit more specific in your research.
Well, Steph, our magazine is 95% words and 5% pictures.
It's not, though, is it?
No.
Probably a 50-50.
Although a picture speaks 1,000 words, so, you know.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. Right. Unless it's a photograph of 1,000 words.
Pictures I count each letter as an individual picture.
Right, good. excellent. Next.
Next. Ooh, moving on ruthlessly. Okay, Philip Bunyan.
Made up name.
Right.
Pa Bunyan, oh God.
Phil McCracken.
My name's Phil, I'm 15, live in London, and doing GCSEs, art, history, geography and French. I've been reading your mags, with a Z, for 3 years now, and I've become really into the whole idea of PC gaming and what opportunities it offers to creative people who are interested in modding. Though I myself have been inspired, I can't get to grips with all these SDKs, apart from creating a box with lighting for ETQW. Enemy Territory Quake Wars, I think.
Yes.
I'm especially wowed by Clear Sky. I think he means just the phenomenon when you go outside and there aren't any clouds.
Yeah, me too.
I'm coming to a stage in my life where I don't know where to start my career. Where did you guys start?
15!
How did you end up writing your max? Yep, this is a 15-year-old who has come to a stage in his life where he doesn't know where to start my career. Oh, do you ever get it when you're 12 years old and you just hit a dead end?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I was considering my career options at about 7.
Well, Philip, we feel you may have hit your midlife crisis early.
Yes.
Join the army.
Yeah.
By my calculations, 15 minus 3... He has been reading a magazine since he was 12, and our magazine's an 18.
Shocking. I blame the parents.
I'm calling the police. Having us all arrested.
Yes, to attempt a semi-serious answer to your question, there are about 100 times more professional footballers in this country than professional games writers. So if you want a better chance of a job, better start practicing football.
Can I give a really serious answer?
Go on.
My really serious answer is, don't try and get into this job if you love video games, first of all. Because everyone loves video games. The job title of loving video games is video games buyer. If you love writing, get into this job.
Yep.
That's my uber tip.
And he's interested also, in modding.
Yeah.
And if you're interested in earning lots of money, don't get into this job.
You could just become a butler.
I don't think he actually wants to write for us. I think he wants to make games.
Plenty more jobs in that than there is in journalism.
But we
will be really snappy about what you do.
If he can't get the hang of SDKs, then I think he ought to look at a different career entirely.
He's 15.
He's only 15, yeah.
Well, he's got time, yeah.
Yeah, come on. I was cleverer at 15 than I am now.
I reckon he's better at SDKs at 15 than many famous game designers. I'm going to name one.
His box of the lighting, it might be amazing.
It could be a really good box. But then I realised I had no idea how good they were.
Demis Hassabis was a child genius.
Yeah, he was probably better at everything.
Who's that child genius with the blonde hair, the curly hair? Oh, he was always on TV in the 80s.
Let's not mention him, her.
Him, her. He was my favourite.
Next, you want more reader letters?
Yes.
Fine. I don't know, that one's a bit boring, really.
Well, is this just...
Isn't there a bit that I highlighted that might be interesting?
Yeah, but that's kind of boring, isn't
it? Do you want to just read the highlighted bit?
What was it?
Adrian Fielding writes, 99.9% of your magazine could not be better.
Is that 99.9% or
nope.
Just 99.9?
It's just 0.9, actually.
9. I wonder what that 0.1 is.
I think it's Craig Pearson's contribution to the magazine.
Probably Craig Pearson's column.
It seems to be...
That's fine.
You take issue with the strapline on the big game hunt.
Ah, yes.
Seems to think the tagline should be wow.
No.
I don't understand what the hell he's talking about.
I think what he's talking about is that where there's the World of Warcraft entry in the big game hunt, the quote from the original review is me saying, I can't see another fantasy MMO competing with this in the next few years. And he's saying, okay, you're right. You can stop saying it now. Stop blowing your own trumpet.
Except there are many, at least two out there who can sort of compete.
Yeah, but only now.
Yeah.
So I was right. And I do keep saying it.
And we keep saying, like,
so he's probably right. I should probably shut up.
Yeah. And you stop playing it.
Change the quote. I'm going back to it.
Our compliment about massive multiplayer games is always that it's the first one that can almost measure up to World of Warcraft. We never say it's the first one that's better than World of Warcraft.
Well, because nothing has been better than World of Warcraft.
I think I agree with that, actually. I tried to play Warhammer last night, and admittedly only played it for like 10 minutes, but I was kind of really enthusiastic about the classes and really wanted to get into it.
Yeah.
I love the Warhammer universe a lot more than I like the Warcraft universe. But it's just like basic problems with the controls in that I like to set things up so all my controls are as close together as possible or just as simple as possible so I can do it all with the mouse or all with the keyboard or vice versa. And I just couldn't get to that balance. If I actually attack somebody, I had to use the mouse, and to move, I had to use the keyboard. There's no click to move, and there's no auto-targeting on the keyboard, as far as I could tell. Mm. And so it just felt really awkward and clunky. And also, just in general, massive multiplayer games, the main thing that puts me off is that they are progress bars and error messages. That's their concept of what combat should be. When you successfully commit an attack, it has a progress bar saying, you know, 20% of your fireball is ready.
Dot, dot, dot.
And then the progress bar completes, or it gets interrupted and cancels, or it goes backwards in World of Warcraft, which is the worst possible thing. Progress bar goes backwards. You're telling me I'm wasting my life.
Unprogress.
And then if the target is dead, or it's too far away, or using the wrong spell, or you're facing the wrong way, it says error, it says target invalid, target dead, facing the wrong way. What I want, and the City of Heroes does this brilliantly, is if there's a problem, fix it.
Yep.
Don't tell me about it.
Spin me on the spot.
Yeah, if I'm, if the person I'm trying to attack has moved behind me, then when I press attack, you should turn around and attack them. If they're out of range, you should walk up and attack them.
Yep.
And if my thing isn't recharged, just don't do anything.
I'm trying to get into Warhammer Online at the moment, actually. Speaking of Warhammer Online, this is part of our Play with PC Gamer new initiative. We're setting up guilds in a couple of games and just making sure everyone knows about our servers. So if you want a game or something, you should be able to find people to play with via PC Gamer. You can find out more on our blog, pcgamer.co.uk. That is that. We've set up a Warhammer Online guild, and I'm going to be setting up a World of Warcraft guild in the next few weeks as well.
What server are we on Warhammer?
Warhammer Online is Karak Vlag.
Karak Vlag.
Karak Vlag.
It's the Claymore
server. Order side, not the evil ones.
Yeah, I'm planning to be schizophrenic.
Right, so, okay. Well, you could set up a competing order. One.
Yeah, well, I'm joining the RPS one on Karak... Kern?
Is that Kieran's blog?
Yeah, Kieran's blog. Yeah.
Nothing makes me laugh more than that joke.
So but it
does force me to say rockpapershotgun.com out loud every time you do it.
Yeah.
Which I otherwise would never have said.
I shall take away your fee.
Anyway, I've been driven to this by the fact that PC Gamer has no destruction guild. We've only got an order one.
So yeah, well,
I need to satisfy my dark urges.
Getting one guild. Okay.
Play Warhammer.
Just kill a child.
Getting one guild up and running is going to be kind of the first step, and then if we get a lot of people wanting to play but wanting to play destruction, then we'll do another one. So it's all good.
It's going to be tough, apparently, because destruction are outweighing order on most servers.
Yes, they are, very much so.
Which is interesting, because usually you get the opposite, don't you? In almost all games, most people go good.
Yeah.
In fact, Craig, didn't you say Peter Molyneux had some interesting stat about that? How many people are good and how many people are evil?
In Fable.
I've never said anything of the kind. I have said that when I do play Fable 2, I'm going to create the most evil character possible. I'll be attacking children in the street. Just so that when we do the co-op thing of inviting someone else into their world, when they'll come from a nice, normal world into my hell, and try and get the hell out of there as quickly as possible. But I've never said anything about that.
Okay. Someone told me that Peter Molyneux said something like 90% of gamers will automatically choose the good side, but the 10% who play evil will play for much longer or something.
Right. I think Peter Molyneux said
that. They're the sickos.
Possibly.
I'm always attracted to the evil side in an MMO. Whenever I play a game where you have to make good or bad decisions, like a BioWare game, I'm like a little angel. But when it comes to choosing a side, it's always evil is more interesting. I have better spells.
I think it's probably just to take a break from the normal day-to-day routine for you of, saving kittens from trees and helping old ladies across the road.
Rescuing tiny mice from my bedroom.
Yep.
I did this week. I did that. I rescued a mouse from my bedroom.
And bet its head off.
Yeah. So we're nearly out of time, but there is one more thing that we should probably talk about before we go, which is something tragic that happened this morning. Tom, would you like to tell us
yesterday morning,
what this
actually.
Is? Yesterday morning.
Tragedy before me. I've been banned from Spore. Not only did I review Spore, not only do I run one of the most popular Sporecasts in the game.
But, did you make a cock?
No, I said, okay, this is what I was banned for. This is, okay, EA's initial reason for banning me. Extreme language / racial comment.
Okay.
I won't tell you what the quote was yet. I appealed the decision, explaining that what I'd said was not extreme language or a racial comment, and they changed their viewpoint. They said, actually, what we're banning you for is strong, vulgar language. I said, holy shit, that is freaking awesome.
Racist! I'm leaving this podcast
this
now. I'm so disgusted.
How dare you insult feces like that?
Yeah.
This is. I had to say that because somebody had made. There's basically ages ago, I used to be a part of a
small terrorist cell
with someone from Canada, someone from Australia, and someone from America. We're kind of like the four main English-speaking countries. Mm. And one of them was kind of an artisty person. And she basically drew a little icon for each of us. Kind of what she imagined we looked like, which is completely inaccurate, but kind of cute. And I've been using that as my little logo forever since then. And it's my Steam community icon, it's the logo of my blog and stuff.
Okay.
And somebody made it in Spore. They made a building that was a giant version of the logo. All the colours are perfect. It's a user called Zombuster. Also a gamer reader, I believe.
Yeah.
So naturally, the only thing to say was, holy shit, that is freaking awesome. And that got me banned for 7 days.
So not forever.
Wow.
Not forever, no.
Oh, well.
What are you going to do for those 7 days?
They're complete
that's
idiots.
Why, that's why he's trying to play
idiots. They've bungled this completely. In that, firstly, holy shit, is not extreme language. It's, if you want to say swearing is not
allowed,
are you
not allowed to swear in the game? Is there a rule saying you're not allowed to swear?
There's no rule, but if you do swear, you get banned for extreme language or racial comment.
I mean, you would never get banned from an MMO for saying shit in a public chat channel.
But if they just said...
You just wouldn't.
If they just said no swearing in the terms of service, which
yeah.
they don't,
yeah.
that would be fine.
If and also, it would be very easy to have an auto-correct thing where anything where you say shit gets
yeah,
starred out.
Yeah, you can censor shit. It's not an uncommon
easily
word.
Easily censor it. But they allow people to type it, then they ban them for a week.
And they even have an approval
process. So the manpower involved in doing
that. When you comment on someone's creation, that person has to approve it. So that person said, this is fine. It's yeah. okay for them to say that.
I read this one guy who kept on getting banned from Xbox Live for his username because Americans kept on complaining. And his name was Nigel. But he shortened it to Big Nige. And the Americans were misreading it. As
Ooh.
Yes, or nigger or whatever.
Yeah.
But it kept on getting banned because it's got Nige.
Oh my god! It's a wonderful world we live in, folks. Full of confusion.
That made me laugh for quite a long time reading that.
Idiocy. On that note, gents, we'd better stop it there because the clock is ticking. We've all got work to do. So, Tom, Craig, and John, thank you very much for joining me today in
That's
the PC
okay.
podcast
this is work.
Office. Yeah, it's better than work, isn't it? Thank you all for listening, and we hope you'll join us again next time. Thanks. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.